hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Around me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. Hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Around me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere.
Very good evening to all listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life. We thank God for a new month and another weekend. This program comes every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eben, I'm in the studio with Brother Yao Redu. And you know, tonight we are talking about some of the things that we have to start doing as Christians in the times that we live in. And, you know, interestingly, a lot of Christians are doing their best to stay in tune with God and doing their best to revive their Christian lives in the heat of all that is happening. And the truth is that it's a learning period and a training period and a time for preparing ourselves that God has given the church for the times ahead. You know, at the beginning of the year, I got a message from one man of God, and one of the things he told the Lord told him regarding the year for Christians is this is the year of preparation. And I think last week, Brother Yah was also telling me of another pastor in Kumasi too, who has talked about that fact that God says this is a year of preparation for the church, for Christians. So seriously, when this whole thing took a different nosedive and the church was closed and all that, clearly, I just knew that God is doing his own thing regarding how he wants the church to prepare or the Christians to prepare. Because, you see, had the church been as it is or over the normal system as we know, Christians will not be prepared. I mean, our focus will not be on preparation. We'll not be interested in preparing because it will be business as usual. I mean, we are doing our normal fundraising, our normal, you know, revivals and, you know,
fun games.
You see, so we'll not pay attention to the voice of God. And God in his own wisdom knows how to get the attention of the church. And he has done it perfectly. And who are you to question him? He has done it. He's the owner of the church. He has done it. I mean, so if you don't believe it or you don't accept it, he is the owner of the church. Have you died on the cross for anyone? No. The one who died on the cross has managed the church the way he wants it to be managed, not the way it was being mismanaged largely by men. And unfortunately, that's the truth we don't want to hear, but that's the truth, because the way the body of Christ was going, it was not in the right way. Largely. I mean, of course, there are still good churches and all that, but largely the general populace. I mean, if you have to do a sample and ask Christians on the way now, on the streets, wherever, WhatsApp, whatever, I just do a sampling and ask them how many were truly, truly benefiting spiritually, growing, and they knew that Sunday was a day they were looking up to for spiritual growth and impact in their lives. Very few will say so. For most people, Sundays became just a social gathering. They just go to please their conscience, to the fact that they are Christian. If you don't go to church, it will look like, you know, you are backsliding or you are not serious or something. People ask questions and all that. So people, we got to the point where a lot of believers were just going to church for going sake, but not for real spiritual food, as it were. People were just going for going sake. You see, so when a church gets to that point, when the body of Christ gets to that point, God has a way of drawing the church back to be refocused. And when, you see, we are at a very critical moment now, because if the church refuses to prepare and get ready and refine and revive itself through the help of the Holy Spirit, then God will have to use other means to wake the church up again. And unfortunately, all through history, it's been happening. When the church becomes very comfortable, then persecution steps in. I mean, it's not one of, read through church history, it happens. When the church becomes very comfortable, then it becomes, you have to use something else to draw the church's attention. And by so doing, it revives the church to be refined and purified. And looks like that's where we are headed from the way the thing is going. All right, so let's get into some of the news in the course of the week. And we have this one, 5.5 magnitude earthquake rattles city of Ponce in Puerto Rico, buildings damaged. And then we had another today, too, powerful 6.6 earthquake strikes off Crete Island in Greece. And, you know, as for the earthquakes, the statistics are obvious. I mean, it's been increasing in recent times. Over the years, it's been increasing. And, you know, these are all the signs Jesus said will precede his coming. But this is not the end. These are just the skirmishes that we'll see before serious times ahead. Then, this headline says, immediate danger, quote-unquote, immediate danger. Half of world's workforce could lose livelihood due to COVID-19, according to UN agency. The International Labour Organization has warned that around half of the world's workforce, or 1.6 billion workers, are at imminent risk of losing their livelihood because of economic impact of the coronavirus pandemic. And in its latest report, the UN agency stated that those hardest hit by the financial effects of the COVID-19 outbreak have been informal economy workers, including the self-employed and those on the short-term contract. But the issue is big companies are losing out. I think South Africa Airways, they've laid off 10,000 workers. You know, European airlines, some have started. And it's that big. It's not only informal. I mean, in the formal sector, companies, businesses that are linked to sectors of the economy that the pandemic has caused, you know, the tourism industry, the hospitality. I mean, these industries, hotels, aviation, you know, car rentals at the airport, all of them. You see, so it's a whole chain of businesses, the suppliers of these industries, those who supply things to the hotels, those who supply the airlines, the catering services that supply the airlines. You know, so the ripple effect is massive, very, very massive. And the way things are going, the oil industry, there is even something else, crap, because last week, oil, it got to a point where the crude was zero. Crude was zero in some, I read one report where in some instances, we're begging people to just offload cruise ships. The ship has come and we don't need oil. So what do we do? And it's like the cost of keeping the ship at the harbor, at sea, the cost of, you know, the staff paying the crew on the ship and all. So the oil, you take your oil and you let's go with our empty ship. You know, I mean, you just look at the where the economy of the world is just going down, and oil, which was a major player, now hovering in the twenties. I mean, experts are saying that it's not going up anytime soon, because travel, aviation is a major use. I mean, user of oil, and because one big plane takes thousands of gallons and all. And so if all the planes are moving as usual, cars, how many? There are instances, countries where lockdown is still in effect. So movement is not. I read one report of California where a ship load of 2,000 Nissan, I've forgotten the model, for one of their four-wheel drives, Armada or something, one of their cars, brought them from Japan. And the ship was just about approaching the harbor. They said they should just drop anchor before the harbor, like just drop anchor in the sea and wait, because there's no place to discharge the cars, offload the cars, that 2,000 cars. The demand is not there now. Who is buying cars? How many people are buying cars now in a lockdown society?
Where are you going?
You see, it tells us, I mean, if there are lessons we can learn from this coronavirus pandemic, it makes you appreciate that when Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Invest in the kingdom.
I mean, because at the end of the day now, I read a lot of reports and you see planes have been parked, even where to park them in some place, in some cities, where to park the planes is even a problem. So they have to even go further at other cities to go and park there. And it's like you realize that the value of things, people are now seeing that, what's the use? Private jets. They are not using it. No, where are you going with the private jets?
I wanted to ask, so are men of God and women of God with the private jets? How now? Is it that they spark the engine? So now what are they doing with the private jets? They are flying their houses.
They say this too shall pass. So that's interestingly, this word, I mean, recently I heard someone preaching and was busy talking about the fact that, like, he's going to buy planes and all. I said, hey, at this time, hey, all right, let's go on. And it says that for millions of workers, no income means no food, no security, no future. ILO Director General Guy Ryder said on the stark impact of an economic dip. You know, in recent times, they've been saying it, the world economy is going to crash, the world is going... You see, some people have been expecting all that is happening, you know, and they've been scheming and working towards it. So all that is happening is not a surprise for some people. And even when you read further reports, before we came out, we were discussing this thing where intentionally, there are some countries where the system is intentionally forcing to crash the economy at all costs. So they are intentionally frustrating the system to the point where it will crash the economy. Because it's as if something has to happen. So they are bent on doing it. Because some of the things happening in some places makes no sense. at all, where intentionally sabotaging the supply chain of food industries so that there will be shortage of food in the shops. For the ripple effect, of course, you all know if there's food shortage, chaos, I mean, all those. So the system is a planned thing.
You cannot rely on them. Cannot trust them.
You see, when
you'll be deceived.
Oh yeah.
Big time.
When you read the book New World Order, you realize a lot of the things happening. it was written long ago.
They know about it.
It's like sometimes people are just watching this. All that is happening, the human reaction, the reaction of societies, the church, and all these things. It's just like social engineering. People are just assessing the reaction and are just gauging and seeing, oh, okay, so this is how people are reacting, people. And they are just learning from it to improve on their skills and their schemes going forward. Oh, yeah, that's what is happening. All right, so continue with some of the news items. We have one dead, dozens wounded in clashes as Lebanese currency crashes. It has started. Food prices soar. At least one person died and dozens more were wounded in northern Lebanese city of Tripoli on Monday after protests over Lebanon's increasingly dire economic situation deteriorated into rioting. Arab media reported on Tuesday, rioters set fire to an army vehicle and destroyed bank fronts, according to AP. Lebanese national currency plummeted to a record low over the weekend, with the country's central bank having to issue instructions on Sunday night forbidding currency exchange shops to sell US dollars for more than £3,200, despite the official rate of being £1,507 per dollar. That's their pound, not the British pound. Mm-hmm. And then, according to the report, food prices in the country have reportedly skyrocketed as the country struggles with record unemployment due to the coronavirus pandemic. The next headline says, growing unrest continues with California stay-home order. Californians wary of stay-at-home orders have left millions unemployed staged displays of defiance on Friday, with hundreds of flag-waving protesters gathering at the Capitol and along a famed Southern California beach. Because
I've been saying this. When people continue to stay at home,
oh yeah,
beginning they have food, maybe they have some few coins and papers, so they will be using it and they have some supplies here and there. So as it continues to deteriorate and it gets to a level they have no food, no money, they have nothing, they will know that if they stay home, they will die. Then if they come home too, they will die.
So like the lepers in Samaria.
You see, if we stay here, we die in a
we'll just move. And you see, Trump wants to open the economy up, but the governors, who are on the ground, and they are part of the deep state. The deep state, I mean, this globalist agenda. Have the plan to sabotage the thing. So it's serious. The next headline says hundreds of protesters storm Michigan Capitol, some with weapons. And you see, clearly the thing is boiling. It's starting. Hundreds of people protested outside Michigan Capitol building in Lansing on Thursday, with some pushing inside while the legislature was debating an extension of Governor Gretchen Whitmer's state of emergency in response to the coronavirus pandemic. Then the next one, eggs and meat prices above monthly minimum wage in Venezuela. So your whole
month's salary,
yes,
minimum wage is above it.
Yes. You know, it tells you that clearly the world, you know, last two weeks, the news from FAO, and all, they've been giving these warnings that food insecurity is going to be an issue in the months ahead. The next one says, countries should be bracing for a second and third wave of coronavirus, according to WHO experts. He warns Europe that remains very much in the grip of the crisis, despite reduction in new cases. Dr. Hans Clarke warned that even the best health systems can be devastated. And then he said countries should prepare for further waves if vaccine is not yet available. Was an idiot.
They will have to push
every sentence. It has to be there.
They have to push it somewhere to prepare you so at the time.
Europe still accounts for nearly half of the infections and nearly 2/3 of the deaths in the world coronavirus statistics. Dr. Clarke warned that coronavirus or COVID-19 is not going away anytime soon, and said public health would need to have a more prominent place in society when it does. Scientists around the world are racing to develop a vaccine which would turn the tide around against the virus, but it's likely to be many months away. Hey, like I said, we are not going, it's not going away anytime soon. Some people will be angry because that means mass gatherings are also not happening anytime soon. And the truth is that it's not happening anytime soon. I mean, that's the reality. Because when we had the mass ban on mass gatherings in Ghana, the number in Ghana was 6 or 16? Ghana, when the ban on mass gatherings, churches, schools.
It was around 16.
16,
because
it was low. 16, yeah. I think,
16.
Yeah. Now, 2,160 something. Is it when, now that they are going to open the schools and the churches? So it tells you that we have to brace ourselves for a longer period. Police has arrested pastor in fabricated charges in Pakistan, according to sources. The Presbyterian assistant pastor, Safraz Raja, was preparing to deliver a Good Friday sermon in Pakistan on April 10th. It's not that the report has come up anyway. So April 10th, when his brother informed him by phone that police had intruded into his house and were harassing his mother and other family members. Upset that the pastor had complained of police misbehavior and knowing that Christians had little status in a 96% Muslim society, the officers were planning to frame him on trumped up charges of making and selling alcohol, according to sources. So he says, I excused myself from the sermon and immediately rushed to my home, accompanied by the village headman, Kaujuri Rajit, and some other people, said Pastor Raja. And they arrived to find the sub-inspector Malik Ahmed and 5 other policemen in the courtyard threatening his mother and other family members. He said, I asked the police why they had entered my house without a warrant and were misbehaving with my family. At which point, instead of explaining the purpose of their raid, they grabbed my collar and bundled me into the police vehicle amid protests by my family and the village elders. Police also arrested his uncle, who lives with the family, he said. The pastor said that upon reaching the police station, officers took out liquor manufacturing equipment from a room and forcibly took the 2 men's photographs of it, then registered the case number 184/20 against them under anti-narcotics and illegal substance laws, accusing them of illegally manufacturing and selling alcohol. I mean, seriously. The machine, they don't even own the machine. You own the machine. You take a picture of me on the machine and said, villagers are standing by ready to vouch for him, he said. And the village headman said he supported Pastor Raja. Quote, I, along with several other elders of our village, pleaded with the police not to tarnish the reputation of our pastor by framing him in a false case, but they threatened to arrest us as well. Lau told the Morning Star News. Quote, we all have submitted written statements vouching for the pastor's innocence to senior police officials, but no one is paying heed to our pleas. Persecution against the Christians.
But I want no time.
Oh, yeah. Everything you do.
And this is what is going to get worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
This thing Jesus told us.
Yeah, you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Yeah.
So this we're reading is not just peculiar to them. For now, it may be peculiar to them. But as we continue to go further, it's going to affect the entire world.
We go to China. Chinese pastor who refused to join communist-controlled church arrested for subversion. A Chinese house church pastor in China's Hunan province has been arrested for inciting subversion of state power after he refused to join the ruling Chinese Communist Party's Three Self Patriotic Association. And that is the church, the government sanctioned church, the one that they sing patriotic songs as hymns. Hey, yes, seriously. Radio Free Asia reports that Pastor Zhao Huaguo, the founder of Bethel Church, was arrested on April 2nd in China's Hunan province after being criminally detained since March 14 for inciting subversion of state power. His whereabouts are unknown. His wife told the outlet that after her husband was criminally detained, the state security personnel told her that the reason for his arrest was due to his reposting of messages about the coronavirus pandemic. Just, they always find an excuse. Something that you do. Authorities accused him of using VPN software to avoid the Great Firewall and sharing political content, including what happened in Wuhan, the epicenter of the disease, and on and on and on. And it's serious. As for China, for those who have read the book that I sent, The Heavenly Man, you understand exactly what's the three self states and all these things, because the man explained it quite a lot. He suffered so many times based on that. Then, for those who were CNN, Anderson Cooper, one of their top presenters, announces the birth of his son, White, and interestingly and annoyingly, you should know where I'm going, he's a gay, and he's happy showcasing the son who was giving birth through a surrogate mother. And I was looking at the Instagram post and the comments. People are happy. Congratulations. And
okay,
this generation, we are worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, because Sodom and Gomorrah didn't get this far.
No.
They were not having surrogate mothers giving birth to, because that technology wasn't there. And see what is happening in our time. Okay, a few years ago, last 2 years or so, I talked about this case of journalists and his friends who reported through an undercover operation interviews to expose Planned Parenthood, how they sell body parts to companies and all that. You know, apparently one of the vaccines that they are using for the coronavirus is aborted baby parts is being used in part of one of the vaccines that they, you know, they use it. It's an industry which, see, the abortion industry, they just don't kill the babies and just end it there. They sell some vital parts to some industries. One, food industry. Two, pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah, the normal power. Yeah, the normal with the chop things.
And even some of the cosmetic industry. You see, we are in a very evil society. So the abortion business has to be sustained. So that's why they will fight any government and any leader who tries to oppose it in the U.S.
And the coronavirus, it was part of the necessities.
Oh, yeah, because the industries are producing, so the input should be sustained. So they still need the body parts, the baby, the fetal parts from the baby to continue the industry. You see, and this journalist did the report. He recorded their bosses telling how much they were selling the parts and everything. Now, they rather took it to court, and the journalist who rather exposed them has been fined $1.2 million to pay for damaging. the good man rather has become the bad man in the eyes of the law.
That's what the system.
Because you are trying to destroy a certain business.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you see, how evil this world has become. It's amazing. It's serious. So pro-life activists ordered to pay Planned Parenthood over $1.2 million for an expose on baby body parts scandal.
You know, because their fundings have been cut, so they must find a way to...
Trump is cutting some of their funding, but still, Charlie, they are getting some from, you know, the other bad guys out there, the big rich men are still funding them, and some companies are still funding them and all. Lutherans publish a new version of the Bible without the word Israel in it. A recently published translation of the New Testament has gone glaringly has one glaring omission. It has exercised all references, excised all references to the place and the people of Israel, with the people of the Bible. Rabbi Trudy Weiss, who recently published a Hebrew English version of the Torah, noted that omitting Israel from the Bible is equivalent to failing to mention God. 24 NYT, a Danish news service, reported on Sunday that the Danish Bible Society just published a revised translation of the New Testament. The new edition has many surprises, including a new name, the New Agreement. Agreement with who? But even more shocking is that the new agreement has a new agreement. The new agreement has all but removed any references to Israel, whether it describes the land or the people. The new edition was reviewed by Jan Frost on YouTube, who reported that the word Israel is only used once in the Bible 2020, which is the name of the new edition. In all other passages, the word Israel is either replaced with Jews, in the land of the Jews, or not replaced with any alternative term. Frost reported that the publishers justified the change by claiming that Israel referred to in the Bible is not the same as Israel today. Frost noted that this explanation does not apply to the term Egypt, which remains in the Bible 2020, despite ancient Egypt having significantly different borders and ethnic composition than modern Egypt. Posts on social media suggest that the change may have been politically motivated as an anti-Israel statement. In a recent interview about Bible 2020, Elaine Duncan, Global Council Chairperson of the Bible Society, noted that the new edition has already been downloaded to more than 90 countries, which she considered to be a great success at moving towards what she described as a global church. Rabbi Tuli Weiss, the founder of Israel 365, an organization that promotes the significance of the land of Israel to the nations, disagreed strongly with the approach of the Danish Bible Society. Quote, "This translation of the New Testament is an important reminder that replacement of theology is not a problem of the past," unquote, according to Rabbi Weiss, as we told Breaking News Israel. Quote again, "Some segments of Christianity still have a replacement theology problem. The notion that Israel can be scrapped from the Bible is ridiculous as removing God from the Bible. Christian replacement theology, also called supersessionism, holds that the Christian church has succeeded the Israelites as the definitive people of God. Supersessionism requires reading the term Israel, referring to either the people or the land, as an allegory for the Christian church." And how can you replace Israel with the church?
Struggles in the holiness, the righteousness, the obeying of the commandments of God, which we need. You've left that one, and now you are struggling yourself trying to...
Amen. Okay. Last news item. People should open their ears wide. This is the most important news for the day. I reserve the last for the best for the last. Let me put it that way. Daniel Rhodes was shown that Christians would try to destroy those warning of coming judgments. Daniel David Rhodes, 79, of Mount Crawford, passed away Saturday, January 6, 2018. Daniel was a bishop over numerous churches in the U.S. and overseas. He co-founded with his wife, Esdan Printers, Dandy Printing, Truth, Life, and Life Mission, and Truth, Light, and various magazines and all that, and had a radio broadcast sharing the gospel. Over the course of his ministry, he had many supernatural experiences with God. And during one of those supernatural experiences, he was shown that the day would come when Christians would viciously attack those that were warning of coming judgment. Quote, okay, let me now read. So it goes on. I saw Christians trying to destroy other Christians, and I watched in horror as they tried to destroy all the prophets of God and all those who were warning against coming judgment. They were teaching their people not to listen to prophets of doom. Okay, like us.
We are the prophets of doom.
But that Jesus loved them, and they would be raptured. Mm-hmm. That's where we go. But that Jesus loved them, and they would be raptured before any evil happened to them. Okay, is it familiar to what we've been hearing people preaching? I watched as these people faced severe persecution and judgment that were... I watched as these people faced severe persecution and judgment that they were promised they would not see. They turned against those who taught them lies and cursed them to their face. Because of this deception, many so-called Christians turned against the true Christians and were ready to destroy anyone who practiced true Christianity. I saw Christians persecuting each other, lying about each other, and falsely accusing each other to such an extent that there was an angry spirit arising within the churches. Please look for that verse where many will be offended, and that
Matthew,
verse.
Matthew 24.
They openly persecuted those who didn't agree with their traditional standpoints. Okay, traditional standpoint.
Not religious, not biblical standpoint. Mm. Please, yes.
They were so deceived that they labeled churches who believed they need to live by the Bible way as cults. The churches that were unscriptural and those who were known as cults in the past became an accepted practice. Mm. So the good becomes the bad, and the bad becomes the good.
Matthew chapter 24, verse 10. Verse 10, it says, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another.
Okay, and what will cause that one?
That one is the great tribulation. It says, and then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my sake.
Okay.
And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And the many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many.
Is it not exactly this prophecy that this man was shown? The word of God came... Okay, let me continue. So the churches that need to live by the Bible way as cults... Okay, then. The churches that were unscriptural and those who were known as cults in the past became an accepted practice. And the word of Lord came to me saying, quote, you will hear people boldly, violently, and with much hostility accuse the righteous, holy, God-fearing people of being cult members because they believe in holiness, unquote. The word of the Lord came to me again saying, quote, persecution within the church causes division, confusion, and much distraction, but persecution from without that comes from the world brings people together in unity and love and compassion one toward another. For this cause, severe persecution will come upon the American people. And by extension, Christians elsewhere. Because he was limiting it to America, of course. Upon American people, and by extension all. Because they willfully chose the way of division rather than unity. I will send persecution that will cause them to either turn against me or turn to me.
So, when we fall away from the word of God, we begin to fight the real message of God.
Yeah.
And we go backsliding, then the Lord will send persecution. And that persecution is for two purposes. It's either to let us come back to our senses and run back to the Lord, or we want to go and attack the Lord and his people more.
And this is not far in coming. We are getting
this. This is where we're getting
we are in the process.
Holiness and righteousness. Now, when you talk it, you say people say, no, this is not. How many churches are practicing holiness? How many believe in holiness inside out? It may be just about 2% of the churches. 2% of the churches are practicing holiness or believe in holiness inside out. And even with that 2%, it's not all of them who believes in total holiness. Some have stopped on the way. And when you are practicing, because we've been told, That is occultism. I have a daughter. And my daughter, she's in, how do we call it, in Canada. A man of God told her, this is about some 7-8 years ago. And so, to date, my daughter is here to accept this total holiness. She told my daughter, point blank, that's the pastor I was under, that this taking away jewelry, makeup, and others, that is occultism, is demonic. So if you allow it, that demon will possess you. So because of that, my daughter doesn't want that demon of holiness to possess her. You get it? So with just this message you said, it is correct. Those rather who are practicing the word of God will be called our demons, and that is occultism. Mm-hmm. And that is what, remember, who want to enter into occultism? Yeah. Which Christian? Mm-hmm. So immediately they use that and they capture your mind. That is all. You wouldn't want to have anything to do with holiness again.
You see, and you realize the way he talked about the fact that when you are saying that, I mean, Christians will face persecution, they rather get offended.
That's what he said. Because they have been told that rapture will come before. See, he said it in the message.
It's a serious, you see, people think, often I hear people say, whether I pray or post or it doesn't matter.
I say, you don't know what
the consequences are so severe.
If you've been told you are going to school and you've been hearing that there will be no final exam, how will be your attitude? You didn't waste time going to learn because you've been told no final exam. So since you've been told no final exam, 1 week to the end of your distance, finishing school, then now you are told that the next day you are starting final exam. What do you think is going to happen? So that is how it's going to be. For those who have been told there will be final exam, they will be preparing. Yeah. Since they come to the school, start preparing towards
and
the final
then
exam.
Now when you get there and the final exam comes, you'll be angry against those who have learned and
that is it. This is what is going on.
And that's exactly what the prophecy was talking about, what the Lord showed him. You see, and it's not far from coming. Recently, the Lord was explaining, I was doing a study, and the Lord was explaining to me more on the 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the falling away. And you see, what is going to cause that falling away to happen is the same thing you are talking about.
They say we've been deceived. So all so they've been telling us is a lie. We don't now believe
it
again.
And do you know the seriousness of it? Even pastors are going to fall away because they will say that God has disappointed them.
And it's not God.
What they learned at Bible school has not come to pass. That means it wasn't true. They can't believe in this God again and they'll walk away.
It is not God.
That is why God in his wisdom says, the preceding verse, he gives a caution. Don't be deceived. Anytime you see a verse that says don't be deceived, it means that the probability of you being deceived is very high.
And yes. I saw one of these big time holiness pastors.
I was tagged this week by our friend.
Philip
in Accra. He tagged you and me.
Paul Ricker. When I saw it, I said, what?
It was just the same thing.
Second Thessalonians and just only concentrated just on the second coming and left out the gathering. In the verse 1,
it's amazing.
And I was surprised.
It's amazing.
You see, 2 Thessalonians from chapter 2, from verse 1. Now, brethren, we beseech you, by the coming of the Lord Christ, and the by gathering. Our gathering together unto him.
Is this not
two
the rapture?
Events, the coming of the Lord, and the gathering, the rapture. But sadly, the man intentionally, cleverly swamped the second part of that sentence. That is the gathering of the church, and said, this is only about the second coming. It's not about rapture. What's the verse 1? Let me read the verse 1 again. He said, Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Christ and by our gathering together unto him. So the second part, he cut it off. Let me continue. He said that you should not be shaken in the mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as it from us as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, which day is he talking about? When you read the verse 1, he's talking about the coming of Christ and the rapture.
Yeah.
That is why he's saying, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God. For that is, all that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself is God. So Paul was saying, the coming of the Lord and the gathering of the church will not come except first there is a falling away, mm-hmm. and secondly the Antichrist, the man of sin, is revealed, and he sit in the temple of God that he is God. This is the abomination of desolation. And suddenly you have Puerto Rico of Holiness Revival Movement quoting this same scripture but dodging the second part of the verse 1.
It's amazing.
Taking off completely. The rapture said this is not about the rapture, it's about the second coming. Once the verse 1 stated these two things.
If you look at the logic there, at hand, how can the advent or the second coming
come first?
How can that be at hand?
First before rapture.
No, I mean the English at hand means that is the present one, that is closest. And the question is, why would the church be interested in coming with Christ in the millennium and ignore he coming for them?
It's sad.
This pole shifting, when they get pushed to the wall regarding free trip, they can't defend it. Then they start twisting scriptures.
Fumbling, twisting
scriptures.
And
this is the danger.
And all your work you've done will come to zero. If you begin to twist scripture, because it's quoted, two different events are there, and you just pick one of them and say, this scripture is only about the second coming. So what about, and by our gathering together unto him,
mm-hmm.
then you leave it. May Jesus have mercy upon us.
It's pathetic. You know, and so we have to be very careful. We have to be, especially when there's a warning that don't be deceived. Isn't it amazing that the verse that Jesus said that talks about deception, Paul also says, don't be deceived. That is exactly the place where the church is being deceived.
Mm-hmm.
Is it not a mystery? Where you say that it's like a child is going, hey, careful you don't fall down. Is that same place the child wants to fall down? I mean, what's wrong? Hmm. What's wrong with Christians? That you have the Bible, instead of reading the Bible, we say no. We believe in a doctrine instead of reading it. And when they read it and it doesn't suit what they expect and they believe in, they say, no, it doesn't mean that. But what else does it mean? If gathering together unto him is not the rapture, what else is it?
Next week, I'll be working on that.
Even when you read the Second Thessalonians chapter 1, he talks about the rapture over there. So the two is just a continuation. So it's like the whole thing. And let's get it straight. Jesus promised the disciples that he's going to prepare a place. John 14, I believe. Yeah. He's going to prepare a place for them.
Yeah.
And come
John
and pick.
14:1.
Why would the disciples, the early church, who heard this prophecy, this promise, and Paul who came to join, why would they be interested in coming with Christ to the millennium in the advent, the second coming? Why would they be interested in that one when they are looking for the promise of his coming to take them to heaven? No, I mean, let's get serious for once. Why would a child in KG be interested in university, the work he will do, the good life he will live after work, like when he starts working, whilst he's not even going to secondary school? You don't even qualify to go to university, and you are thinking of after university. Millennium, coming with Christ in the millennium, that's the second coming or the advent, is to start the millennial rule, the 1,000 years on it. Why would the church be interested in that one and leave the rapture, which is now coming to take you to heaven? And that's what he promised the church anyway.
Yeah.
What is the relevance of the millennium to the Christian now, as it were? So why will Paul waste his time and say at hand to mean when Christ is coming for the millennium, coming with the church to the millennium, when the rapture is what the church is waiting for? By the way, the same Paul in the First Thessalonians chapter 4 had talked about the rapture.
The rapture.
And this second letter was to clarify the misconception that the church had, because people thought the rapture was immediate, so people stopped working and all those things. So this second epistle to the church in Thessalonica was to clarify the situation. And yet, Christians are reading this clarification of the first one. We gladly quote 1 Thessalonians 4, 16-17 as Paul's rapture. But the commonest rapture verse.
When
you quote
he gave
it,
the details as to when it's coming.
You say, no, that one there doesn't apply.
No, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Which people was it written to?
The church.
Is it not to saint?
Yeah.
Is it not to the church?
Yeah.
And we are trying to move away from it.
Hey, because it's not sweet.
Gotcha.
We'll be back after this song.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages, Almighty God is He.
Isaiah said, His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Jesus, the only name given unto man whereby a man can be saved. For the Scripture says, He has given us a name that is high above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
His name is wonderful.
His name,
His name is wonderful.
His name,
His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord.
He's the mighty King. Master of everything. You see,
His name is wonderful,
and He's Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd,
He's the great shepherd,
the rock of all ages.
Stop, Cleveland, Ohio.
Excuse me, how long until we get to Paris?
Ma'am, this train goes from New York to Chicago.
I'm sure this train is going to Paris, otherwise I wouldn't have boarded it.
Well, lady, there is no train from New York to Paris.
Well, I believe we are going to Paris.
Excuse me, did you say we're going to Paris?
No, we're going to Chicago.
But I believe we're going to Paris.
You believe we're going to Paris? I didn't pack for Paris.
It doesn't matter what she believes, trust me.
She believes one thing and you believe another, but we're on the same train. You can't both be right. Yeah, but she looks really sincere in what she believes, so we're going to need passports.
And he's paid to believe what he believes.
Look, this has nothing to do with who believes what. This train is going to Chicago.
He's not very open-minded. We must be going to Paris.
You know, some say that there are many ways to get to heaven, but Jesus said he's the only way, and he left no middle ground. So do you believe him or reject him? Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio at lifelinepro.com.
All right, welcome back to Issues of Life. This is Eben. I'm in the studio with Brother Yao Horedo. You know, the times we live in are very, very critical. It depends on how you see it. I remember during the lockdown, I went out somewhere to buy something and I saw there were some soldiers who were located at the place and they were, you know, well-dressed, military fatigue and all. But there were three. One had a nose mask and two were not. So I had a number in my car. So I just picked two and gave it to them, the surgical one. But, you know, the Holy Spirit teaches us, he talks to us in various ways, lessons from various things. And one lesson that came to mind was, on the regular day, these were well-dressed military men on any normal day. But in the era of coronavirus, they were not fully dressed. Their dressing was not adequate for the times we're in. Because we all know the season we are in, nose mask and all that. So even though they were dressed as soldiers, having everything, their boots, their trousers was on, their jackets was on, the gun, their belts, their cap, everything. But without a nose mask. In the season that we were in, or we are in, it's not that they were not fully dressed for the season. In the era we are in as Christians, and the era we are entering as Christians, it really, really becomes critical that we are fully dressed as Christians. And one of the things, the preparation things we are talking about, we are starting, is the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. And this is a topic that is well needed. Lots of important things in there, and we'll be addressing it. We are not rushing to finish it off tonight, no. It's deep, and we have to... Yeah, so we'll take time to go through, because there are a lot of things to learn from there. The reason why it's important is that we cannot live our Christian lives as normal as we used to. Recently, I wrote on my Facebook wall that if after this lockdown, your prayer life has not improved as a Christian, then there's something wrong. Oh, yeah. I mean, if after this 6 weeks or so out of church, and we had lockdown for 4 weeks, and if this period you've not been able to build your Christian life to the point where you can be self-reliant, ideally, that should have been the case. Though I know a lot of Christians in churches have not been groomed and trained to be self-reliant, but we've gotten to the point where you should be able to help yourself. So far as you've been a Christian for some time, you should be able to help yourself, because, I mean, so if for 2 years you are not going to church, what happens? Are you going to give up and leave the faith? No. Rather, this is the time to decide that you have to grow and grow well and prepare deeply and seriously as a Christian. So let me quickly start reading. Let me just read through first, and then we'll start from top down, as it were. Ephesians 6. Okay. So it's 6 from 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. That means if you are weak in the Lord, we are being admonished to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not our own power. We have no power. I mean, our power, we derive our power from on high. It's just like if you see an ambassador. An ambassador is powerful by the letter that he gets from his country that sends him to be an ambassador. He derives his power and authority from his nation. And the authority comes from his country. The president has sent him to be an ambassador. So now he represents that country there. So he's powerful based on that authority he derives from his country. The same thing as Christians. We don't have our own power as individuals. But our power comes from on high. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. There are powers. So the Christians who think that anything goes, they are powers, they are principalities, against rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And all these ones are higher than witches. So you see, we are, as Christians, the things we deal with, but because most of us are not having the spiritual eyes to see in the spiritual realm, so it's so easy to overlook and ignore these things. Conveniently think, oh, all is well, or it doesn't matter. So it's important we know these things. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto in all, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. One striking thing I saw about this is the fact that this is not our armor. The armor belongs to God. I mean, that's quite an interesting thing. The armor is not for us. It's like, it's not our own. We don't have an armor. The armor belongs to God. You know, and let's, let's open in Revelation 12:12. Please read from Revelation 12:12.
Revelation chapter 12.
Yeah.
It says, therefore rejoice ye heaven, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time.
Okay.
And when, should I continue?
Oh yeah, so a short time. That's the part I was wanted to stress. The devil knows his time is running out. He knows it. Unfortunately, the church, unfortunately, largely seems not to understand the times we are in and the shortness of the times we find ourselves in. Perhaps if we knew how serious the times were, the way we do things would have been different. Perhaps if we knew how close we are in the realms of the spirit regarding God's timelines, our focus and attitude will be different as Christians. You see, because we've become so used to the worldliness and the state of the world and the love for the worldly things and everything, our attention has, over the period, shifted from real serious spiritual things to the worldly things. And this has been even increased, or this has been more like the right word to use. I mean, this has really come up more because of the hyper grace doctrine, where it's all about we are forever saved, so what's the big deal? So you see, it unconsciously takes us into that realm of feeling that automatically we are kindness of heaven, so there's nothing to work for, there's nothing to do again. Just enjoy life as it were. I remember hearing someone once saying that, I mean, he's looking to, I mean, be rich here on earth, enjoy life here, and then go to heaven and go and then continue there too. You see, nobody says we should be poor or we should chase poverty, no. But our focus is very important. What we focus on. And the devil knows his time is short. So he's really, really, I mean, all the signs should tell us something. The devil knows his time is short. He's overworking. His agents are overworking. They are doing everything to just get the numbers on their side. But unfortunately, we are sleeping. And even when we wake up, it's as if, you know, remember those times, secondary school, people, boarding house, rising bell, and people wake up and their eyes are just like droopy, that cartoon droopy. It's like some can't even open it. And, you know, some struggle to wake up. And that's how some Christians are behaving. We are in a semi-conscious state. It seems we are waking up, but our eyes are still trying to close by force. So we still can't see our way through what is happening. But the truth is, it's time we really be firm and wake up and open our eyes to see what is really happening. The time is very, very serious, and we are in serious times. We just can't play business as usual, as it were. I mean, it's time to be serious with heavenly things and divine and spiritual things. And the first thing we need to realize, as I said, the armor is not ours. So if the armor belongs to God, then that means we just can't be using the armor if we are not in right standing with the owner of the armor. Let's get that fact clear. You know, so if it's about the owner of the armor, then it means you need to be in good standing with the owner. Because it's just like saying, you just can't come and pick my car key, and then if I don't have a good relationship with you, you just can't come and pick my car key and go. I mean, what if you go and don't come again? You see, so you should be on a good relationship with somebody to use somebody's property, somebody's item. Huh. And God will not allow, I mean, in the case of, let's use this quick analysis, David and Goliath. You know, God not allow David to wear Saul's armor. God made him uncomfortable in Saul's armor because David was God's champion. He wasn't going to fight for God, for Saul. God wanted to use him. And in those olden era, the kings sometimes allow the people they select to fight on their behalf. So the king will give their armor to you. That means you are fighting on behalf of the king. So when the victory comes, the glory goes to the king. Had David worn Saul's armor and had killed Goliath, the glory would have gone to Saul. God would have been taken out of the equation. So God, in his own wisdom, made it impossible for David to use that armor. You see, so whose armor you use is very important in warfare. If we are fortunate to have God's armor that we can use, then that gives us a lot of advantage then. Because one, we are dealing with spiritual beings, and this armor is not to be used in killing your enemies and die, those type of things that Christians have been doing these days. They don't go to those all nights.
They could be killing Corona for us when we are die. But sadly,
they are killing, but they
jumps with their tails and in their legs. This is the time we need you to die, Corona. But where are you?
They are killing, but it's not dying. So, the more they kill, the more the numbers increase. So, you see, so when we put on this armor and fight for God against his enemies in the spiritual battle for the people of this world, you know, so we need his armor. It is for this reason that Paul says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. He's reminding people that once you have put on God's armor, you only fight against the armor owner's enemies. Because, yes. You see, because now you are in his camp. You are in his army. So you have to obey his instructions. No soldier just goes out to do things on his own. So we have to get these things straight. Furthermore, the armor's owner gets the credit for every victory you accomplish. See, the parts of the armor listed in Ephesians are what we use to survive the attacks of the devil against us. Not only does Paul tell us what they are for, notice that he tells us stand. There is no forward motion. These pieces of armor, God's armor, aren't used for advancing the kingdom, but for standing our ground and defending what is already our own and what God has won for us, what he has accomplished on the cross. So we have to defend our territory. So you realize how many, you realize stand about 3 or 4 times. Stand. Because see, you can easily try to do things your own way. You see, but the instructions are clear. Paul reminds us again and again to stand. He even goes as far as to say that having done everything you can, stand. There's a lot we are going to learn in this series by the grace of God, and we'll start off. From which point are we starting off?
Reverend, we're starting as usual by the grace of Christ Jesus. We know by His grace, it may take about 3 to 4 weeks for this particular. As you said, we are not rushing through this armor of God.
No.
Reverend have read it for us, Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 10 straight up to verse 19. We're not going to rush through. We'll be taking them one after the other. But dear people, please, if you have money and you are keeping in the banks for you and your wife, please use time to some to sponsor the work of God. Do as much as possible to sponsor the work of God. If you call yourself a Christian, when we are looking for airtimes to preach you on these radio stations and all radio stations in Ghana, even in the world, if you can get me airtime on any radio station, including our own Spirit FM 88.3. If you can get me airtime, let's discuss. And we get the airtime. Once we discuss, then you just pay the money to the radio station for us to preach. That is all. Because the truth, we must preach it out. So if you are in that capacity, you can let us talk. You know the number. The number when we close, 0204-200-444. 0204-200-444. The gospel, we must ensure we get the message to every place. Today, we are starting armor of God. We started first with the verse 10. That is Ephesians chapter 6. We're starting from verse 10. Chapter 6, verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren. So this shows it's getting to the end of the race. Finally. The Lord must have told us a lot of things years by. But now it has become evident, me and you, we are closer to the end time more than anybody in history.
Oh, yeah.
He said, be strong in the Lord. Brethren talked about the power of His might. The power of His might is the word of God. It's Jesus. That is all. The power of God, apart from His word, there is no power again. No. Because the Bible says, Christ Jesus, the power and wisdom of God. That is what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24. Christ Jesus is the power and wisdom of God. But we'll be talking about, be strong in the Lord. For you to be told to be strong, it means it's not a joke. It's not a laughter matter. It's not cool chop.
Oh, yeah.
It means it's difficult. And from since time immemorial, so the first thing we'll be talking about now is be strong. We will check the Old Testament. They were taught to be strong. Then we will come and see it in the New Testament. Then we will also know how we can be strong. On your own, you cannot be strong. No. On my own, I cannot be strong. So just confirming what Brabant said. Everything we're going to talk about, the armor of God, is all about God. It's all about God. And the basic principle, it is total obedience to the word of God. Morning, afternoon, evening, night. Not my church says, not my pastor says, but what is the word of God saying? Be strong in the Lord. Not on your own means. If you go outside the Lord, if you go outside, Bible says something, that you can decide to go on your own, it's not going to work. Except it is in the Lord. Many a times, me and you, we take decisions which are contrary to the word of God. When it happens that way, we are on our own. Except you are in the Lord, His protection doesn't come. God will never go aside His word. So be strong in the Lord. The race that we go in, the heavenly journey, since the world began, has not been easy. Christ said the people of the Old Testament, what they suffered, what they went through, up to our time, nobody has ever gotten it easy. So this kind of messages we have been told, come to Christ, you marry, come to Christ, you give birth, come to Christ, you get a job. Let me tell you, Muslims, don't they marry? They marry. Don't they give birth? they give birth. Freemasonry and no cause. Don't they open business? They open business. So if that is the reason why you came to Christ, then please go back. Be strong in the Lord. Let's go to see. Let's go to the Old Testament. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20 from verse 1 up to verse 4. Deuteronomy 20, 1 to 4. When thou goest out to battle against thy enemies, and it is in battle we are in as Christians, he said, and seest the horses and the chariots and a people more than you. Remember the demons, the witches, the principalities, the powers, they are more than us. There is more spirits on earth more than human beings.
Oh, yeah.
He says, so when you go into battle and you see horses, chariots, and a people more than you, be not be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. So if truly you are a child of God, you may see the enemy, the onslaughter coming. But the Lord said, be not be afraid. Verse 2, and it shall be, when ye are come nigher unto battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. So men of God, women of God, we have a task to ensure that this, we do it. And when they come, what should they say? And they, he said, and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, as today is not Israel, hear, O Christians, as you approach this day to battle against your enemies. So Christians, as we approach this battle against Satan and his foes, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Fear not. Do not tremble. Neither be ye afraid. Neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord thy God is he that goeth with thee to fight for you against your enemies and to save you. Mm-hmm. This is what God told Israel. And it's the same thing he's telling Christians today. When you go into the battle, sometimes you may see demons in dreams, in visions, physically, and other, but do not be afraid. Be strong. That is how the battle has been. Look at the nations Israel fought with physically in Israel's history. They were bigger than Israel. They were better than Israel. They had more horsemen. They had more people who could fight. But the Lord still told them, be strong. My brother, my sister, be strong, because the journey is not easy. The battle is not easy. The kingdom of God entering is not easy. Let us look at Joshua. When Moses died, something happened. Joshua chapter 1. Let's read verse 6 and 7 and verse 9. This is verse 6 and 7. When Moses died, now it was time for Joshua to lead. The Lord needed to strengthen him. And this is the same way I'm strengthening the church. The battle is not easy. No. It has never been easy. And it will never be easy. And I tell you this on the authority of the word of God. It's going to be extra difficult as we get closer.
Oh yeah.
That is how. So we say, tribulations have been happening. Persecution have been happening. But before Christ comes to gather his church, it will be at peace. That is what we call great tribulation worldwide.
And then you see a quick addition. All through history, tribulations against the church were at specific locations.
That is it.
So in the time of the early church, it was just around Jerusalem, those areas. In the fast forward, in the medieval ages, the 15th century, the Spanish Inquisition, from the Catholic Church persecuting the Protestants, it was in Europe. Now, the Great Tribulation is going to be every country. So that is what makes it great.
My dear brother, my dear sister, so the tribulation is going to be worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
That is why it will be great. It has been specific, but now it's going to be great. He said, be strong. That's Joshua chapter 1, 6 and 7. Be strong and be of good courage. So you see, the journey through the days of Israel and others, it has been be strong, be strong, be strong. He said, be strong and of good courage. For unto these people shall thou devour for an inheritance of the land. He said, which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. So that the journey, if God wants you to work for him, if God chooses me and you, which he has chosen the entire world, those who believe he has chosen them. He has called the entire world. People say many are called. The entire world is called. Because in John 3:16, what did Jesus say? He said, for God so loved the world and gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes, that whosoever indicates, everybody have been called. Whosoever believes. So he said, be strong and be courageous. And thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Have you seen what being strong means? Observe to do according to all that is written in the law. Let us run to verse 9. Verse 9 says, have I not commanded thee, be strong and be of courage. Be not be afraid, neither be not be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, wheresoever thou goest. So be strong. The first thing you know, you, me, us, we must know about the armor. You must be strong. And being strong is not just going to carry metals. No. It's about obeying the entire word of God. Let's go to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 20. When David was telling his son, Solomon. 1 Chronicles. Let me look at it. 1 Chronicles. Is it 1 or 2 Chronicles? Let me see. Chapter 20. Let me see. 2 Chronicles. Let me see. No. That scripture, it seems I did not write it well. I wrote 1 Chronicles, but I'm not getting there. And chapter. David told his son, he said, be strong. The Lord has chosen you, that you should come and build the temple for me. You are the person the Lord has chosen, that build the temple for me. This is what the Lord said unto Solomon. He said, you are chosen. Be that strong. David told his son, Solomon. So be strong or be of strength. That has been the standard anybody God chooses. Because the battle is not easy. The way forward is not easy. The enemy will not sit down for me and you to come and pass and go to heaven. Satan was thrown from heaven and his angels. And you think they will sit down aloof and look at me and you human beings who are weaker than them to come and pass and go to heaven free? It will never happen. Let's look at 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15.
But the one we're looking for is 1 Chronicles 28, 20.
1 Chronicles 28, verse 10 and 20. Okay, let me see. And David, First Chronicles.
And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it.
So that is First Chronicles chapter 28. Whereas I was written, I made a mistake. I wrote 20. Yeah. First Chronicles chapter 28, verse 10 and verse 20.
Yeah.
David told Solomon to be strong. As an now let's read. Second Chronicles chapter 15, verse 7. Second Chronicles chapter 15, verse 7. Be ye therefore strong, and let not your hands be weak. For the work, he said, for your work shall be rewarded. My dear brother, my dear sister, never be weak. Every trouble you and me we are going through will be rewarded. So then be strong. Let's go to Psalm 138. I'm just reading all these things for you and me to get to know. Since time immemorial, God has been telling his people he chose that be ye strong. Psalm 138, verse 3. He said, in the day when I cried, thou answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. This is King David saying, I became weak. A whole king that God said, you are a man after my own heart. He got to a time he became weak. But he said he cried unto the Lord and the Lord strengthened him. Anytime me and you will feel weak, when we see the enemies will fall like deserting, let us go back unto the Lord and cry unto the Lord and he will strengthen me and you. Let's look at Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 3 and verse 4. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 3 and verse 4. He says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense, he shall come and save you. My dear brother, my dear sister, man of God, woman of God, the battle is not easy. We are not just fighting human beings. The battle is very difficult. But there is this thing the Lord have been repeating from time immemorial, that be strong, be not be afraid. It is to you, it is to me.
Let's look at the same Isaiah again. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to 31. Isaiah 40, 28 down. Has thou not known, has thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power unto the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. 30 says, even the youth shall faint and be weary. He said, and the young man shall be utterly failed. 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall not shall walk and not faint. So when you are becoming weak, go and wait upon the Lord. You must wait upon the Lord. Me, I must wait upon the Lord. These are Old Testament scriptures. Now be strong, be strong, be strong, be strong. Now, let us come to the New Testament. Let us look at what the Lord Jesus Christ said about Peter. In Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Let's look at verse 31 down. Luke 22, verse 31 down. Now, let's see. He said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that ye may sift you as wheat. My dear brother, it's the same way Satan is looking for me and you. But listen to what Jesus said. But I have prayed for thee, that he said, thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. The Lord knew Satan was at the heels of Peter. When the Lord said it, when you read down, Peter did not accept what the Lord said unto him. Many a times the Lord warns me and you that we are becoming weak. But we don't want to obey. When he says it, we don't accept it. But rather we want to just fight on. Because Peter said, Lord, he said, 33 said, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both in prison and in death. Look at this. Peter, God is saying, Peter, Satan have desired to sift you. You are about to fall. But instead of we listening to the Lord and his prompting, we say no. We are bragging to the Lord that, oh, we are not even just going to prison with you. God, we just want to die as well with thee. Then the Lord said unto him, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny me, and that thou knowest not me. And truly, truly, it happened. But the message I want to say, Jesus interceded for Peter. The same way Jesus is interceding for me and you. But we must listen to his caution that there is the propensity, there is the probability that we may want to fall. We want to fail. We may want to run away. But the Lord is saying, do not run. I should not run. Let's go to the same. Luke 22. Let's read from verse 39. Luke 22. Let's read from verse 39. And he came out and went as he went unto the Mount of Olives. With he said, and his disciples also followed. And when he was at a place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone cast, and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. My dear brother, a time comes that me and you, our human bodies, may want us to go out of the perfect will of God. But even in that time, when we are praying, we should pray for the will. This is Jesus. He knew he was going to die. But now, he prayed this prayer. He was teaching me and you that the flesh really, the spirit is willing, but the flesh may be weak. So when it gets to this time, we should always pray for the will of the Lord, for the will of God, for the will of Jesus to be done. And this is what the Lord did. Then listen to verse 43. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven and strengthened him. I am assuring you this. Whenever we go to the Lord and pray, when there is the tendency for us to fall, when there is the tendency for us to give up, when there is a tendency for us to leave the faith, if only we will pray sincerely for the will of God to come, the Lord will send his angels to come and strengthen me and you as he did to Peter. This is what the Lord is saying. So be strong. Now let us see other scriptures about be strong. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let's look at verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. It says, stand fast. Quit you like men. Be strong. Be strong. The battle is not for boys and for girls. It is for men. So be strong. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's read from verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's read from verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take no pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul is not saying I love iniquities. He's not saying I love being in sin. But when you surrender totally to Christ, when the tendency of sin comes, when the tendency of persecution comes, when you are tested in all these things, because you have surrendered unto Christ, the grace of Christ, which is sufficient, will enable me and you to overcome. The way Christ was able, our Lord, our God, Jesus was able to overcome on the cross of Calvary. He has made provision for me and you. That grace is available only when we will surrender totally to Christ Jesus. But the question is, how many of us are ready to surrender to Christ Jesus? Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. He said, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened me. I can do all things. Face persecutions, face trials, in a time of trouble, in a time of disappointment, in a time nothing seems to be working. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. My mother, my father, this is the word of God for you and for me. Be that strong. The battle is not on a playing field. The Christian faith is not a playing field, no. It is a continuous battlefield. Let's look at it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. He said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Even in the midst of the grace of Jesus, you still, we still need to be strong. So until me and you will renew our minds, that even in the midst of the grace, we must still persevere and be strong. We may have the grace and yet still we want to fall. Didn't Judas have the grace? But he fell. A lot of men of God, women of God, had the same grace. They have fallen. So in the same grace, me and you, we can fall. That is why he said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in you. This is Paul giving it to a man of God. Pastor Timothy is being taught to be strong in the grace. My dear man of God, woman of God, dear evangelist, dear pastor, dear bishop, this is a commandment to me and you that we must be strong. It means the journey is not easy. The same 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's read verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 and verse 17. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. A time will come that everybody will forsake you. Your church members, man of God, woman of God, they will forsake you. Dear church member, a time will come your own pastor may forsake you. This is Paul saying, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsake me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Get this. If you forsake men of God, children of God, in a time of needs, in a time of trouble, if they do not intercede for you, it will be laid to your charge. It will be laid to my charge. So please, let us not deny ourselves in a time of trouble. Don't deny your man of God, your woman of God. Let's support them. Let us advise them. Let us pray for them. If they are not ready to repent, they want to take you to hell. For that one, you don't follow them. If they are not ready to go to heaven, they still want to take you to hell. For that one, you don't follow them. You leave them and you go and you'll be praying for them. Then he continued verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. The Lord stood with me. Paul is saying, though every human being moved away from me, but Jesus is with me. That is what Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 20. He said, teaching them to observe all things I have told you. And behold, I am with you unto the end of the world. That is what David said. Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil, for thou art with me. In the midst of death, in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, in the midst of the sickness, in the midst of the troubles, in the midst of the persecution, in the midst when your husband wants to desert you because of holiness, in the midst when your wife wants to desert you because of holiness, yet still, Jesus is with you. Jesus will continue to be with his children. Paul is saying, notwithstanding this, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And strengthened me. If only you, me, us, we will stand in the Lord, the Lord will continue to strengthen us. Morning up to the evening. He said that by me, the preaching might be fully known, and that all Gentiles must hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Let me tell you this. If God have called you, and only you obey him, nobody can cut short the call of God upon your life. Child of God, man of God, woman of God. That is why I'm not afraid of anything, no. I am the only person that can cut short the call of God on my life. If I decide to disobey him. But as far as I am ready and willing, morning, afternoon, evening, to obey everything Jesus said, until I have finished what he, God, have said and written about me, no human being, no spirit can cut short my ministry. And it is the same thing about you. All you have to do, all I have to do, is to continue to walk in the ways of the Lord. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen and settle you. Mm-hmm. After suffering a while, the suffering will come. But the God of all grace, through Christ Jesus, will make you perfect. Will make me perfect. Will establish you. Will establish me. Will strengthen you. Will strengthen me. Will settle you. Will settle me. If only we will continue to walk in his word. If only you and me, we are not going to deviate. And look at this. Matthew, what Jesus said. Matthew 11, verse 12. Matthew 11, verse 12. The journey is not easy. That is why the Bible has been saying, be strong, be strong, be strong, be strong. Listen to what your and my Jesus, your God and my God, Jesus said to us. Matthew 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, until this day we are talking. Immediately the Bible say now, we're talking about now. The kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. So if you, if me, if us, we don't strengthen ourselves, how can we stand this violent? And the violent doesn't mean go and take a pickaxe, knife, cutlass, and fight you. No. If any man of God, woman of God tell you that, it's a lie. It's all from the time of John the Baptist. Let me ask you, how did John the Baptist die? He died quietly in prison. All he wanted to know is that whether he has finished his job. So he sent to Jesus. Go and ask him, is it the one that is coming? Because John the Baptist knew he is the person who is coming to reveal Jesus.
Yeah.
So when the Spirit of God came over, he pointed. But that he wanted to be sure that he has finished with his work. So when he got to know, then he knows, oh, once is done.
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. I'm ready to go home. So, John the Baptist suffering violence and dying. He did not fight. Christians are not to fight. We are to stand for the word. John stood for the word. The message nobody can preach. I've even heard some so-called men and women of God saying, if John did not have gone to preach to their king, he wouldn't have been killed. That is, I don't know which word to use. the greatest prophet.
Mm-hmm.
He, Jesus said, John the Baptist is the greatest prophet ever.
Yeah.
Luke 7:28. And you tell the greatest prophet that you are sensible than him. He is the greatest prophet. What did he come to preach? Is it not repentance?
Mm-hmm.
What he preached to the king, wasn't it repentance?
Mm-hmm.
So who the hell is saying John made a mistake? If John made a mistake, what of Stephen? But John make a mistake and he was killed. What of Stephen? What of Jesus? Did Jesus also make mistake? What of Paul? What of Peter? What of the people in the Bible? If you don't know about some things, keep quiet. I've been telling people, if you ask me a question, brother, I don't know. I will tell you, I don't know. I said, you cannot beat me. So things you don't know, don't talk about. Now let us go. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 11, Ephesians 11. We're talking about the armor. First thing we've made me and you to know, now be strong. He said, put on the whole armor of God.
Not parts.
The whole. Not part whole.
Not some.
Not some. The armor, when you check, they are about 7 or 8 things. 7 or 8. Let me see. If I check.
Plus.
For me, I have 7.
Plus prayer, 7. Yeah.
I have 7. A 7 I have. And out of the 7 things, you cannot choose 6 and leave 1. You cannot take 5 and leave 2. You cannot take 4 and leave 3. You cannot take 3 and leave 4. He said, all. Because they all have places that they will cover.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately Satan sees you. They are able to scan you. And to see which part of the armor you are not wearing. And that is why they attack.
Yeah.
That is what they know. Immediately they see you coming. They censor you and they know which part of the armor you are not wearing. So until you, me, us, we wear the entire armor, forget about defeating Satan. Only one person defeated Satan, Jesus. And it's because he wore the entire armor. That is why I said the armor of who?
God.
That's what Brave said, it's not your armor. The same armor when God came on earth, he used to defeat Satan. That is the armor he's giving us.
Yeah.
The entire armor. Until you wear this. Now, common coronavirus have made it clear for everybody to know that the anointing oil doesn't work. The assault doesn't work. Their water doesn't work. Their sticker, their badges, their chains. Recently, I heard somebody say, Inusia, Apun Kwasra. Say, Wunun Kwasia, same thing. And we follow such stupidity. None of them. And the same so-called man of God who brought that country, the person who was interviewing him was on mass, and I'm saying, Yarefu, said, if it was working, why is the person interviewing you on mass? The two of you alone know. So you see, the entire armor, you need it.
Mm-hmm.
That is all you need. After, if corona, Jesus may give us mercy and take it away, and you go back to handkerchief, oil, water, salt, yam, abayfunku, Florida water, abramunshu, you are stupid. At the time you needed that, where were they? At the time you needed that protection, where were they? They could not come.
They were locked down.
And now they were there. They themselves decided to lock themselves down. Let me tell you, if even the president and Nana Akufo-Addo decided he will not lock the churches, a lot of the pastors will be saying, I'm going on personal retreat. Let me tell you this. I say, if even Nana Addo Akufo-Addo said they will not lock down the nation, the churches, a lot of the pastors will tell you, I'm going on the marathon fast. They will be indoors. Let me read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Yeah.
Today, that is where we'll be ending. The wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. Got to know this. On the day of judgment, you cannot say, I did not know. No. You cannot. Because in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, we are told, God said, for lack of knowledge, my people are destroyed. He never said, for lack of knowledge, I will have mercy. Please take this very well. For lack of knowledge, my people are destroyed. He didn't say, for lack of knowledge, I will have mercy. Let me just read it. Hosea 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed. This is the people of God. So the church is destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because that I've rejected knowledge, I'll reject thee. That should not be a priest unto me. So if you reject knowledge, you don't qualify for a priest of God. No. He said, that thou should be no priest for me. Seeing thou have forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. This is the word of God. And if truly you are a child of God, listen to what Jesus said. John chapter 10, 27. John 10, 27, 28. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. So if me and you, we are following false prophets, false religions, following falsehood, are we children of God? No. He said, my sheep hear my voice. He says, when you read somewhere in the Bible, he says, strange person, they will not follow. Mm-hmm. So why is it that me and you, we are straying away from Jesus? Now let us come in. From time immemorial, deception has been the greatest key Satan has used. He has not changed his formula. Oh, yeah. Let's read 2 Corinthians 11, verse 12, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguile Eve, through the subtlety of your minds, should be corrupted from the simplicity in Christ. So Paul is saying, the same deception that Satan used for Eve, Adam in the Garden of Eden from the beginning, I'm afraid even in the church of Corinth, and now in the church of this day we are talking, I'm afraid you'll be deceived. And that has been his strategy. He has never changed. Yes. Let me ask. Satan in Matthew chapter 4, 1 to 11. Matthew 4, 1 to 11. What happened? He went to, after Jesus Christ, the one and only true living God, who came as a human being, have fasted and prayed, no food, no water, no social media, for 40 days, brethren. This man, Satan, did not fear Jesus. Tried, went to go and deceive Jesus.
Yeah, how much more?
And me and you, mm-hmm. 3 days, 2 days, even day. 1 day, quarter. And we think, after that one, we are sick.
Yet,
40 days, 40 nights. No food, no water, no WhatsApp, no Facebook, no cameras. Jesus was just there, bah, 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 praying immediately after. Quiet as a bra. Don't joke with Satan.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm telling you this so that you, when you underestimate your enemy, they will give you first blow, first run, you fall down. Oh, yeah. But when you know the strength of your enemy, you will prepare higher than him. And now in the Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 11, what happened? What did Jesus use to overcome him? The word. Satan will come and quote, and Jesus will say, it is written. Satan will misquote Bible, and Jesus will correct it.
Yeah.
So my dear brother, my dear sister in Christ, if me and you, we don't know the word of God, men and women of God, satanic agents as well, will come and twist the Bible. And me and you, we're going to be deceived. Apart from there, when you go into the Bible, when Jesus was asked, when shall these signs come? The first thing he talked about.
Deception.
Matthew chapter 24. Verse 4 and 5. He warned us of deception.
The white horse.
Verse 11. He warned us about false prophets and deception. Mm-hmm. Verse 24. He said they will do so much signs and wonders. If it were possible, the very elect are going to be deceived. So deception. When Jesus was asked, It was, he warned much about deception. But sadly, when you talk about deception today, many of so-called Christians will get back. Let's look at Mark. Mark 13, verse 22. Mark 13, 22. He said, this is Jesus. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders and to seduce, and if it were possible, even the very elect. The people who are the elected, whose names are in the book of life, who have accepted Jesus Christ, they themselves will be what? Deceived. Now when you continue, again, in Luke 21 verse 8, the same thing is there. Luke 21 verse 8, and in Matthew chapter 7, 15 to 16, he warned us, he said, by their fruits. By their fruit. But sadly today, when a man of God's fruit is showing he's a false prophet, and immediately you say it, they say, thou shalt not judge. By their fruit, that's not man anointed. Who's anointed? That Jesus warned us in the same Matthew 7, 21 to 23. He said, it's not those that say unto me, Lord, Lord, they shall enter heaven. He said, on that day, many will say, have we not prophesied, healed, done many things? He said, I never knew you. In 2 Corinthians 11, from 13 to 14, he said, be one of false prophets, false apostles. Then in Jeremiah, that is the last scripture, 23, he warned us, verse 14 says, false prophet, they commit adultery, they lie, and they don't speak the truth. Then when you go to 21 and 22, he said, for had they stand in my stead, they would have told the people to stop from their sins. But however, they are now helping the people to be strong in sin. So one of the little signs you can use to see false prophet, which you can use to recognize about 98% of false prophets, is that they will tell you to continue in sin. Brethren, God willing, next week, we are going to continue. May Jesus Christ be with us.
We have this interesting inputs from Accra. My friend in Accra says, the background of the armor of God in Ephesians is in Acts 19. That's Paul's warfare against Diana. And that was in Ephesus, where Diana was. Yeah. So Acts 19:10 says, and this continued in the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And it goes on to say that for these 2 years, Apostle Paul was engaged in spiritual warfare using all the levels, ground level, that's casting out demons out of the individuals, and then verse 11, special miracles. And then another one says occult level, dealing with the powers of darkness that are more coordinated. And then verse 19, burning of the curious arts. So that's the Diana one. Say this was a strategy to defeat the territorial power of Diana. Thus, without the armor, there's no way we can defeat the powers that are unleashed against Christians in these last days.
That is the truth.
Then we have this one from James. Yeah. James 2 says, I wonder how most Christians want to escape tribulations when God has instituted to refine the church as pure gold coming out of fire to meet the bridegroom. Yet they want to enter the kingdom of God. Whereas the wrath of God is for the world or unbelievers as the recompense of tribulations. Therefore, how will we receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised? Meanwhile, we want to escape trials. Thanks, James from Atrema Techiman. Therefore, we need to understand the difference between tribulation, or the great tribulation, and the wrath of God. And that's the reality. And you know, I'll finish on the wiles of the enemy. Indeed, if there was ever a time to be very, very alert spiritually regarding deception, it is now. Because Jesus warned us. I mean, it's clear. He warned us. And you see, if you read the four horses, the first one, the white horse, conquering and to conquer. And you see, that's exactly what is happening. Deception is widespread and it's increasing. And you would realize that except you are grounded in the word of God, forget it. You are not going to make it. You are not going to stand in the times ahead. We need to get back into the word of God. We have to love it. We should deeply dive into it more than ever before. These are no
times to be joking with, unnecessary time wasting things where the devil is distracting us with. You know, I mean, the morning messages I send, I've been dealing with the weights, and then the weights, you see, a lot of weights are not sins. A weight is not a sin. But the devil is also smart in instituting a lot of weights in our lives, which are distracting us. So you see, a Christian can be strong spiritually, living a holy life, so we'll not fall into the sinful traps the devil brings. But we are falling into the weights that the devil is bringing our way. You see, so by a weight well calculated and well strategized against us can still derail us from the race. So we need to be very alert spiritually. We need to be grounded in the word more than ever before. If there was ever a generation that needed the word of God, it is this generation. If there was ever a generation that needed to really study it and get deeper, meditate on it, it is this generation. Because we are the generation that is faced with the greatest darkness that is coming, ever to come in the world. The generation that is seeing all sorts of evil and is going to see even the greater evil no generation has seen before. So if we, these are not the times to grow in the word and grow in the Lord and be interested in deep spiritual things, then when are we going to be interested again? When? Because you see, God in his own wisdom saw that the church is failing the saints. And rightly so. So, fine, shut down the church, scatter everybody, go home, everybody go and study yourself. Depend on the Holy Spirit to teach you. Unfortunately, I mean, yeah, I'm serious. This week I mean, you put on, sometimes I just scan the system, and at this time, people are preaching on marriage. At this time, buying aeroplanes. You know, it's just like, you know, there's a season for everything. We get to a certain time when you are the time to equip the church. You don't waste, like, a syllabus time, exam is approaching, why exam is approaching, then non-scoring. You know, there are exams where you know that. it's not part of the exam. And you are wasting time on it. When the core fundamentals, you see, the sad thing is, the fundamentals of Christianity as it stands, the average Christian is lacking in it.
Is it?
Call the average Christian on the street now, and as even the basic apologetics, I mean, they can't even defend the faith they profess and they claim that they believe in. The average Christian cannot stand against a Muslim if a Muslim is quoting the word of God. They can't stand. You see, so we are shallow and we are weak and we are comfortable in it. We don't know the word and we are okay with it. We don't know anything and we are proud, call ourselves Christians. And we have all the Bibles on our phones. We have the tablets. We have various versions. We don't read. We have the audio. We don't listen. So what again do you want to do? How can we grow when we are not interested in getting into the word of God? And these are the times. I mean, if we miss this opportunity, when? Because you see, as an instrumentalist, you don't tune your instruments when the concert has started. You do tuning before the concert starts. That's why we call testing. You test before the concert starts. You see, so, I mean, for instance, years back, when those times when I was active, you know, when we are going to do a program like a crusade or a musical concert and all that, you know, early, I mean, if it's going to be in the evening, sometimes morning, Saturday, if it's a Saturday program, morning by 10 a.m., I get the team, we set up, we are testing cables, we are testing instruments, the drums, I mean, we are testing everything. Because you don't wait till evening when the program has started before you realize that a cable is torn.
Hello.
In the evening, where are you going to get a cable to buy? You start playing the drums and then your stick is broken. You don't have a spare stick. At that moment, where are you going to get a spare stick, drum stick? You see, so you do, this is the time to prepare spiritually. Not when the heat has been turned on and now you can't think straight before you are now going to learn the word of God. This is the time to learn. Yeah. All right, so this is Issues of Life. This is Eben, and God willing, next week you'll be coming your way. This file will be uploaded on spiritissues.info. You can listen to last editions, last week's, and previous ones as well. All right, so good night, and God bless you. Yeah.